The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Glory, America. Moser, Ohio, Canada. Hugh Hewitt back inside the Beltway, back from vacation after 2 weeks. My thanks to Kurt Schlichter, who sat in the first week, Ed Morrissey, our good friend Mark Davis, who sat in the second week. They allowed me to go off to the Golden State, and I had a great couple of weeks. I had to come back to work to get some rest. My grandkids were back in the country for the first time in a year plus, and at three kids under nine, with the youngest at two, with me and FMH, well, I'm exhausted. But it was a great deal of fun. I got a good close look up at the California recall, which my colleague Larry Elder appears poised to become governor of California, and got to host a debate on the California recall, and got to just have a lovely couple of weeks with the kids. But now it's back to work. And I got to tell you, the dysfunction in California is a story that's probably going to course through my brains for days and days and days. The wildfires, the homelessness, the flight of taxpayers from the state, the crushing burden of regulation, the incompetence with the power grids. It's just a collapsing state. And that's why Gavin Newsom, who's not a bad guy, he's just not a very good governor, like Gray Davis, Gavin and Gray. And his numbers have been falling. So my, quote, vacation included producing a debate at the California Yorba Linda Richard Nixon Library, which I moderated. Panelists included Alex Michelson and Christine Devine from Channel 11, Fox LA, and Robert C. O'Brien, the National Security Advisor under President Trump. The four of us putting four candidates, not including Larry Elder, had a scheduling conflict, but Doug Ossie and Kevin Kiley and Kevin Faulkner and John Cox threw their paces. It was a great debate, very well executed, very well done. At the end of the day, we don't have much polling. The polling we do have shows Larry Elder ahead with a half of the electorate undecided. But as the problems grow and as controversy accelerates over any number of things, most especially crime, homelessness, something called Prop 47, which Californians will understand, I begin to think it's going to be Larry Elder or Kevin Faulkner. And I like Kiley a lot. I think I'm going to have him on today. Kevin Kiley is going to join me today. The bright rising young star. I don't know if he has the money to make a dent. Doug Ossie came across as the wise guy, the wise old man from Northern California, knows what he's doing. But again, it takes a lot of money to run, and I think Faulkner and Elder have the money. And both of them are got energized bases of supporters. We'll follow that race closely. But my friend Larry Elder, by the way, is not too busy to lend a hand to Food for the Poor. While I've been gone, the first 2 weeks of my annual Food for the Poor campaign in the summer, it's sweltering hot in Central America and the Caribbean. Not only is it hot, they're hungry. Food delivery system has broken down completely as a result of COVID. And Food for the Poor is rushing into the gap as usual. If you think you're too busy to donate, well, Larry Elder wasn't too busy to take off time from his campaign for governor to plug Food for the Poor, who had this to say.
It's a great organization. We've raised millions of dollars through Salem for Food for the Poor. They primarily assist countries like Haiti and like Guatemala. Haiti is the poorest country, as you know, in the Western Hemisphere. The average Haitian lives on less than a dollar a day. And so we've been saving lives. And so it's an organization that I really, really, really love. So if you can throw something in the tip jar for Food for the Poor, that would be absolutely great.
I don't want a tip jar. I want you to go to HughHewitt.com and give a lot. Fetching Mrs. Hewitt and I will make our donation as soon as we get our act together. I came back, by the way, and managed to leave my iPhone on the plane at Reagan last night and came back to the townhouse, and both AC units were blown. So it's about 85 degrees in Casa Hewitt. But that's okay. Those are first world problems. A third world problem is no food, and that's where Food for the Poor comes in. $111 allows you to feed three hungry kids for 6 months, and I appeal to you for Food for the Poor twice a year, but boy, right now in this summer, the summer of scorching heat and no food. Go to HughHewitt.com and click on the Give Food banner at the very top, or you can call 855-359-4673. 855-359-4673. Now, I put my shoulder into Food for the Poor every single year for a very simple reason. They get the job done. They've got the job done for over 70 years. They are a Christian organization, but they serve everyone regardless of belief. I know them well. Everyone at Salem knows them well. They get the job done. Please dig deep. Before you go off on vacation or when you come home from vacation, make a donation. The other news of the morning, the Olympic magic is over. And boy, did I have fun watching that with little kids. Little kids see the Olympics through completely different eyes. They see themselves on those podiums. They see themselves getting gold medals. They go swim the next day. They go run the next day. It's just so great. And I love the Olympics, and they did a great job. And my hat's off to all the Olympians. Hopefully in Paris, we'll have the crowds back. Governor Cuomo's top aide, Melissa DeRosa, has resigned. That is for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee, Andrew Cuomo. Everybody wants you gone. She left. She's caught up in the hostile work environment and retaliation scandals engulfing Governor Cuomo, who's emerged as genuinely a very, very sinister character in this attorney general's report that he requested. You don't often, I think this is worse than Ralph Northam, though Virginia voters will get a chance to rebuke Northam when they elect a new governor in November. But they'll get a chance to go back and get a do-over with Ralph Northam. He's not running. Terry McAuliffe is running, and Glenn Youngkin's going to beat Terry McAuliffe, and part of that's going to be a rebuke to Ralph Northam. But they really cannot, in the city of progressive nirvana at New York City, allow Andrew Cuomo to continue in Albany. He's got to go. Kathy Hochul, or Hochul, I don't know how you say it, is the lieutenant governor in New York. No one's ever heard of her. She's preparing to take the reins. The Taliban is preparing to take the reins all over Afghanistan. They have escalated their attacks all across the country, and three cities fell yesterday, including Kunduz. And the Biden administration has just pulled the rope. They're gone. There's no decent interval for Afghanistan. They've cut and run. I don't think Team Trump intended to cut and run. I think they intended to hold on to Bagram and bomb a lot more than this has been happening. But it's an unfortunate and tragic situation. I hope we get the interpreters out. I hope everyone, you know, yesterday the American embassy there advised all Americans to leave the country on the next available commercial flight. What's that tell you? Get out. Companies thought they had plans for the fall, reports the Wall Street Journal. Now they are scrapping them. The fast-spreading Delta variant has managers revamping schedules with bosses delaying office reopening and canceling events. Look, I flew yesterday. I wore my mask. But I did not wear my mask in any indoor setting in California. California's over masks. The idea of masks on K-3, third graders, fourth graders, actually astonishes me as a bad idea because it actually interferes with learning and their childhood development and their ability to speak and hear and engage and understand and emotionally connect. It's really one of the worst ideas in the world, and there is no evidence for it, as is provided today in the Wall Street Journal, the case against masks for children. Dr. Martin McCarry and Dr. Cody Meisner combined for a devastating takedown of the idea of masks in primary schools. And there's another Wall Street Journal story from Friday. Schools reopened to mass confusion. It's mass and mass confusion. And mandates in some places, don't wear them in other places, bans in third places. It's just a complete collapse of clarity. And I'm going to talk with Dr. Fauci, who I greatly admire. I'm one of the conservatives who admire Dr. Fauci, and he's going to be on later today. I'll talk to him about this. But the good news for those of you who've held back because you say that the FDA has not approved the vaccine, I want you to hear Dr. Francis Collins on This Week with George Stephanopoulos yesterday, cut number three.
FDA is working 24/7. I talk to those folks frequently. I know they are very much hoping now to get something out in terms of full approval within the next month. But meanwhile, while people are waiting for that, and I understand that would help, please be clear about this. The vaccines have incredible evidence for their safety and effectiveness. They work against Delta. They will save your life. Please, if you're on the fence, get off the fence. Go find a place. It's easy. Go to vaccines.gov. Roll up your sleeve. Become part of the winning team.
I agree with Dr. Collins, 100%. Please go get vaccinated. COVID can kill you. It won't if you're vaccinated. It's that simple. Dr. Susan Hopkins, United Kingdom Department of Health, by the way, the expert on children in the United Kingdom, cut number five.
School children have the lower amount of infection, especially primary school children. And in looking at it, we've talked to educationalists, public health and clinical specialists. And the consensus view is very strongly to not advise school children at primary school age to wear face coverings. This is for two reasons. One is that they can have difficulties wearing them and keeping them on all day. And the second part of that is that it's really important that they can see facial expressions in order to develop their communications and language skills. Schools have delivered a lot of measures to reduce the risk in schools, and additional plans to test families of primary school children will also be in place as schools go back.
All right, look, this is not hard. I wish school boards would just wake up to common sense. Parents don't want them. They should be gone. The CDC based their decision on no evidence. We'll talk with Dr. Fauci about that later. Stay tuned, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt back inside the Beltway, joined for the Inzer Report by Selena Zito, who, while I was on vacation, apparently dashed up to South Dakota. What was cooking in South Dakota, Selena?
Well, good morning. Actually, I've driven all across the country. I think I've been in 14 states. I think I've lost count at this point.
Well, if I had a producer, we'd go out with I've Been Everywhere Man by Johnny Cash, because it sounds like you've been everywhere, man.
That's so funny. That song just keeps playing over and over in my head. I was in South Dakota. I was also in Montana and Illinois and Michigan and everywhere.
How fares the country?
The country there is all remarkably different than what you see on social media and or we see on the news networks. It's completely different.
I happen to agree with that, having just spent two wonderful weeks in the sunny state of California, and they have many, many crises of government, from wildfires to homelessness to EDD department that got bilked out $1 billion. I mean, they've got many governmental problems, but people are nice and friendly.
People are nice and friendly. People are still retain that sense of aspiration, you know, wanting to be part of something bigger than themselves, even if you are just thinking locally and how they think about each other and or their community and or their county or their state. There's a real sense that you and I have talked about this many times before, that what we see on social media and what we hear on the cable news network tends to not, it skewers very, very left, and not regular Democrats, but to the left of regular Democrats. And it's not very reflective of what you find out here among people that are Democrat, Republican, or independent. People are just much more happier. People are much more less obsessed with the things that you would find on social media, more patriotic than you would suspect if you would go on social media and read about patriotism. So it's very uplifting being out here.
Now, I agree with that. Now, I have to ask you a hyper-Yinzer question, because I have a theory about, now you're younger than I am, but dads in the 60s, believe that this was before air conditioning. Did you ever have a house that was not air conditioned? I grew up in a house that was not air conditioned. Did you, Selena?
The house I lived in for 31 years was not air conditioned.
Okay, so my belief is Midwestern dads are under the erroneous impression that if you point a fan out of a window, it helps circulate air, which of course everybody knows is crazy. Am I right about that?
That is the most Yinzer thing.
It is.
Yes.
Well, it's also in the Ohio border. It's over in, it's in the land, too. They point the fan out and they tell the kids, sweat, it's good for you. This circulates the air. And it makes zero sense. And you sweat all night long. I came back to a home inside the Beltway where the AC was broken for 2 weeks. So it's like an oven when I left. And I, you know, I put the fan on me last night. I didn't put the fan pointing out the window. But that's a Midwestern thing, isn't it?
It's totally a Midwestern thing. I never understood the rationale behind that decision. And yet, everybody I knew did it.
Well, it's a dad thing. It's absolutely a dad thing that it takes a childhood spent with fans. See, they didn't have fans, I don't think, in the Depression, so they didn't even think about fans. But then they elaborate. You know, it's just the guys who went off to war and came back thought that fans were a comfort that no one should have. That's the only thing I can assume, is that the greatest generation didn't believe in fans on bodies.
Yeah, it's as though they're like, come on, man. I toughed it out in the dugout.
That's it. I was in the desert with Chasing Rommel. So very quickly, Selena, are you home yet or are you still on the road?
No. I'm in Wyoming and then I'm heading home. I will be staying somewhere in Hannibal, Missouri tonight.
Oh, my goodness. Is there a Mark Twain Museum?
There is, but I'm staying in a house that Mark Twain lived in for a while.
Oh, that's good. You'll be funny next week. You're funny most weeks, but you'll be really funny next week. Samuel Clemens at his boyhood home?
I'm not sure. I just looked it up last night right before I went to bed. It's sort of how I do it. I look for bed and breakfast off the beaten path, and I was like, oh, Mark Twain stayed here for a while. I'm going to stay there tonight because I bet there's a story.
I hope they have AC. I hope they do have AC because Missouri. I spent a week in Missouri. I spent a year in Missouri for a week one summer when my brother was at the University of Missouri teaching. And I thought, my gosh, this is the most miserable place ever. And sorry, Missouri, sorry. But there you go. There's Selena Zito. Good to talk to you in the injury report. I'll be right back, America. Hour 2 straight ahead on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Brought to you by ReliefFactor.com. $19.95 gets you started on ReliefFactor.com. I talk about it three times in my daily show. At the bottom of the first hour when I take it, and then in hours two and three when I remind you to take it, depending on when your commute begins, because ReliefFactor.com works. It's the only supplement I've taken in 30 years of broadcasting. I've declined every other opportunity to take a supplement, and I'll tell you why. Because ReliefFactor.com actually works. I carry in curcumin and resveratrol omega, temporary relief for the relief of minor aches and pains, temporary support for the relief of minor aches and pains, and you can't do better. Than that 3-week starter pack, $19.95. Morning glory, America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt here. Back inside the Beltway, thanks to Kurt Schlichter, Mark Davis, and, of course, Ed Morrissey for sitting in for me during my 2-week hiatus. Out in sunny California with the fetching Mrs. Hewitt and 3 grandkids. I need to go back to work to get some rest, but we had a great time. Just a terrific time. Always fun to take a little time off and do nothing but family time, and that's what we did. Not nothing, actually. I moderated and produced a California recall debate that brought together the 4 of the 5 leading candidates in the California recall. Governor Newsom declined our invitation. Caitlyn Jenner was in Australia. I don't think that Caitlyn Jenner is actually a leading candidate. But Larry Elder, who leads the polls, was not available. We did have John Cox, the 2018 nominee of the GOP. He got soundly thrashed by Gavin Newsom 2.5 years ago. We had Kevin Falconer, 2-term mayor of San Diego, former city councilman in San Diego, now a professor at the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and widely regarded as the moderate center-right Republican candidate. Kevin Kiley, the up-and-coming assemblyman from the Sacramento area who did a lot to get the recall qualified, and former Congressman Doug Ossie. And the 4 of them squared off. Now, it was Hugh's rules. I did the rules. And I produced the debate. And the rules are very simple. And it worked, by the way. Okay, because I talked to every candidate beforehand. I said 30-second questions, and there were 4 questioners. Myself, former National Security Advisor, Ambassador Robert O'Brien. So we have 2, quote, partisans. I'm a Republican. Robert O'Brien's a Republican. Then 2 nonpartisans, but they're not lefties. Alex Michelson, who I think is California's rising star of journalism. He'll join me in a couple of days this week to talk about the recall. And Christine Devine has been doing the news for 3 decades in L.A. And they just know California the way that O'Brien and I know California. I've been covering California. For those of you who don't know me, you're just tuning in for the first time. I did 20 years of talk radio and television in Los Angeles and 10 years of syndicated radio across California and lived there until 2016 when I moved back to D.C. from 1989 to 2016. No California politics. Backwards, forwards. I'm a Virginia resident now, looking forward to voting for Glenn Youngkin in November. Looking forward to that a lot. I'd love to moderate that debate. I'll be going out to Ohio to moderate a Senate candidate debate. We'll moderate. But Hugh's rules are very simple. 30-second questions, so moderators can't grandstand. Everyone bought into that on the questioner side. 75-second answers and a bell and a chime, an alarm. It goes bing at 75 seconds. Not one person talked more than 2 seconds past the bing. Maybe one went 5 seconds. We never had to sound it a second time. There was, and this is the crucial rule, no right of reply. That meant if you heard your name, you didn't get to jump in and say, he mentioned my name, I get to talk. And there was no interruption. And I talked to each of them about it. And I said, these are the rules. And you're agreeing to them, right? And they did. And honorable people will live by the rules they agree to if they agree to them in person. You don't want to, you want to have a conversation. If you're the moderator, you want to talk to the candidates. This thing went so effortlessly and smoothly. We'll talk with Kevin Kiley about it. But here's how I see the race. And again, I'm Switzerland. I don't get involved in, I'm sort of like Mitch McConnell. It's up to whoever's running unless I see a disaster for the Republican Party, because I am a partisan. I am a Republican and have been my entire life and have voted for two Democrats in my life. Once for my friend who was running in the jungle primary in November. He's a Democrat, and John wanted to be the Democratic nominee to run against my other friend, John Campbell. And John Campbell is going to kill him in the fall, and I voted for John in the fall, but I voted for John Graham in the primary. That was the first Democrat I ever voted for. And then I voted for Bernie Sanders because I wanted Bernie to be the nominee of the Democratic Party. That didn't work. But I'm going back to just voting for Republicans now. I'm just a partisan. And people know that, and they can adjust for the lie of the green. But most of my questions, homelessness, water in the Central Valley, water in the North Coast in California, and critical race theory in schools, these questions have got nothing to do with party. And so the debate went swimmingly well. But now my question for you, 1-800-520-1234. It's 4 o'clock in the morning in California. Some of you are getting up and getting into your car and making a long drive. Have you made up your mind? Or are you waiting to see? The polls say between 40% and 60% of Californians are undecided as who to vote for on question two. Question one, and ballots will be mailed this week. They'll be, according to the LA Registrar of Voters, every Angelina will have their vote by a week from today. So they'll start arriving in mailboxes this week. And you can vote up to September 14th, and there's in-person voting. I think you can drop off your ballot or vote a provisional. I don't know the rules. Check your local registrar. September 11th through 14th, the recall's done 14th. Question one, should Gavin Newsom be recalled? I think he's going to be recalled. He has one hope. He got to hope that President Trump gets involved on behalf of Larry Elder. Now, I think that Trump would endorse Larry Elder, but if the president gets involved for Larry, I think it's bad news for Larry. But right now he's winning. And, oh, we got Jake Sherman joining us from Punch Bowl. Good morning, Jake. You're waking up late, buddy?
No, I'm not. I'm sorry. I forgot that you were back from vacation today, and I had my phone on silent. I apologize.
No worry. You know, Jake, at Punch Bowl News, I time my vacations to leave when nothing happens. Now, you think a lot happened, but I got back in time for the infrastructure vote and the reconciliation introduction, and the House is gone. So I timed this perfectly. It looks like infrastructure is passing in a walk tomorrow night. Does Bernie get to introduce the $3.5 trillion version, really?
Yes, he will introduce it tomorrow. Or today, rather. Today at 10 a.m. is what we understand. The big question for us will be whether there is a debt ceiling. Our big news this morning was, this is in the weeds, but Mitch McConnell has said Republicans won't vote for the debt ceiling increase, and Democrats should put it in the reconciliation package. Democrats have been, at this point, pretty hesitant to do that, which is I don't quite understand what the administration is doing here, Hugh. I don't really get it, besides trying to prove that Republicans are not interested in raising the debt ceiling, which is, Democrats did raise it during the Trump administration. Republicans did not raise it without a fight during the Obama administration. So I don't quite understand what they're doing. But on your other point, Hugh, this infrastructure bill, I believe standing here right now that it's going to pass with 70 votes. So I think.
Yeah, I said the same thing. I count votes. I think Cornyn's going to come around. Do you know if the Shelby $50 or $48 billion defense infrastructure amendment passed?
No, Shelby didn't even get a vote, which is, you know, that's ironic. We're talking in the weeds here, Hugh, but
not for my audience. We love the weeds, no, Jake.
But Bill Hagerty is holding this up, Senator from Tennessee, not holding it up, but is making Democrats take all their time up here, burning all their post-cloture time and their intervening daytime, so to speak, which is preventing, frankly, more amendment deals. It's not allowed for more amendment deals. So, no. And by the way, if Hagerty was interested in a time deal, there would have been a bunch of tough votes for Democrats, including that Shelby amendment, which was $48 billion for defense. So, yeah, no, it did not get a vote. And the answer is no. And it doesn't look like it will, because last night the Senate voted overwhelmingly with 69 votes to accept all of the amendment changes into the bill, which is a big deal.
All right. Now, it will pass. It'll go to the House. I love the punch bowl rundown on when the House is going to do. People have to go and read it. I want to switch up on you. While I was gone on my, quote, vacation, I moderated the California recall debate. And I think Gavin's going to lose that, Jake Sherman. Are you going to turn your attention to that, or is that just outside of punch bowl's venue?
Outside of our venue. We have enough to cover in D.C., I've interviewed Newsom before when I was at Politico. We did an event with him in Los Angeles a couple years ago. I find him to be a engaging speaker, but I don't really have any views about the recall. I do sense that Democrats are getting nervous as I look on my Instagram and Twitter feed and see Democrats saying, "Don't forget to get out to the polls." So,
do you hear from any of your California congressmen or senators? There are only two senators, but. For example, the vice president has not been out stumping for Gavin. Nancy Pelosi has not been out. They've been back here doing work. Are they going to come, or is that the kiss of death for him? They've got Elizabeth Warren running ads in the Olympics on behalf of Gavin Newsom, but it's a Prague play for the left. I mean, do they talk about it all?
No, not really. Pelosi has said, I believe I've seen some appearances in California, I believe Southern California. She was recently doing an event there, and she did make some comments on it. She has said she has commented on it. I mean, she's not stumped for him. I'm not sure if that's normal or what. But I don't know if Kamala is going to do anything. I don't know that Biden's going to do anything. I'm not sure that they are. I have to imagine that Biden would be welcome, but what do I know? I mean, I think that his numbers are probably still pretty good in California, although not as good as they once were. But I don't have any real reporting to suggest that.
Jake, California is a mess. 2 weeks in that state, and I love that state. I spent 30 years there. What a mess it is. But that's a topic for another day. If you want to know what's going on in Congress, head over to punchbowlnews.com. Subscribe. Get every morning for free. I read it every day. Punchbowl News AM. Jake Sherman sent it to me. And when he remembers, he joins me on Monday morning. Don't go anywhere, America. Coming right back. 1-800-520-1234. Connection to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Josh Kroshauer, Hotline Josh on Twitter is with National Journal. Hello, Josh. Happy summer.
Happy summer. Welcome back, Hugh.
Good to be back. Do you think Gavin Newsom's going to be recalled?
Well, you know, his numbers have been on the decline in California as the pandemic, the rise in coronavirus cases and the wildfires have been a big issue. Look, the election in California, the recall, is a very unique election. It's not your classic Democrat versus Republican election. The first question on the ballot is, do you support recalling the governor? It's an up or down, yay-nay vote on Governor Newsom. And that gives the recall chances a much better opportunity than it would be if it was just a traditional, regularly scheduled election.
Yeah, let's focus on that question one first. Fires, homelessness, water, crime, taxes, a general ennui about California and its kind of and lockdowns and masks and the return of the Delta variant. I just spent 2 weeks in California. It's not a happy time. I moderated the first California recall debate. And Gavin's hiding in the basement. He can't come out and talk to people because it's a mess everywhere. It's like the worst time to be on the ballot, Josh Kroshauer.
And you know what's fascinating, Hugh, is that a couple months ago when this election was scheduled, the governor thought it would be advantageous to him to schedule it in September early on because he thought things were getting better, his numbers were going up. And instead, the worry is that it's taking place at such an odd time that a lot of Democrats who are not huge fans of Governor Newsom in the first place may not be energized to show up to support him. And Republicans are all fired up in California.
They are for two reasons. One, they hate being a super minority. They're a super majority of Democrats in the state, and taxes have gone through the roof, et cetera. But Larry Elder got in and got the grassroots fired up. Now, what's interesting to me, do you think Newsom will pour an avalanche of money trying to make Elder the race because Larry is the most visible Republican? Or by doing so, does he actually help Kevin Falconer, the moderate mayor from San Diego?
No, I think that would be a bad strategy for Newsom. I mean, I think what you're going to see is trying to tie this recall in general to Trump and try to make Trump the face of the op- face of the recall, face of the opposition. You're already seeing some of that in his messaging. We'll see if that works. You know, I think Republicans got off to a very slow start because Caitlyn Jenner, you know, got all this media attention, and she's not a very serious candidate, isn't even polling in a bunch beyond 1% or 2%. But now that it's become about Newsom, it's about his handling of the wildfires, about the pandemic, about the crime in the big cities in California, you know, the Republicans have a much better opportunity. You look at the job approval numbers for Governor Newsom in all the latest polls, he's under 50%. So usually, like, you'll some people in a straight-up ballot, if this was a regular election and you have to choose between a Democrat and a Republican, Newsom's chances would be better. But because it's just a straight-up referendum and his job approval numbers are below 50% in California, that's giving Republicans a real fighting chance to win this recall.
And I also believe last Tuesday, the day before the debate that I moderated, the State Water Resources Control Board issued an emergency curtailment for water in the Central Valley. That motivates every farmer and the hundreds of thousands of people who work for them to vote against Gavin Newsom. Crime is, you know, Barbara Boxer got mugged. People brought that up last night at my house when we had a couple of people over for hot dogs before I left. People, they are just, they've had it. The homeless problem, Josh, is actually not describable unless you drive through it. Have you been out there to see it?
No, though we had Lonnie Chen on my podcast recently, and homelessness is a big issue for him. It's one that he said that is bipartisan. And you know, the school, just the quality of life in San Francisco and a lot of the big cities. I hear this from a lot of Democratic friends living in California. It's the same types of things you're saying. Crime is out of control. The worry about the education system, you know, the taking Abraham Lincoln off the schools in San Francisco. I mean, these are things that all pile up. You've listed the laundry list of complaints against the Democratic rule in California and against Governor Newsom. And I think a lot of this stuff is bubbling up to the surface as the recall gets pushed.
The first question I asked when it was my turn was critical race theory. By the way, our debate ran flawlessly for 90 minutes because of three rules, Josh. 30-second questions, moderators couldn't preen. 75-second answers, which is plenty of time to answer a question, and no right of reply, which is the key, right? If your name is mentioned, too bad. Wait till it's your turn. And they went around, and we covered probably 20 topics in 90 minutes well. It's possible to have good debates.
Yeah, you set the right rules, set the ground rules from the get-go, and you often can get the kind of constructive, policy-centric discussions that are so lacking in our politics these days. But this is an issue based. I mean, this isn't about personality. People, I think that the French Laundry dinner that Newsom had, it was sort of the gateway drug for a lot of voters in California for why they didn't really like Governor Newsom's management and approach. But there are a whole lot of issues that California voters of all stripes are worried about, and the concern is that there's this sort of moderate Republican coalition that's going to emerge. We can't win a recall with just Republicans, but there are a lot of moderate Democrats dissatisfied with the direction of the Democratic Party that could end up being supportive of the recall.
Yeah, is it a Charlie Baker moment? Is it a Chris Christie moment where an overwhelmingly Democratic state wants to turn to a Republican to balance the scales of what is clearly an out-of-control progressive? Elizabeth Warren in the Olympics is not the way to win this. And they ran her ad again and again and again. I don't know if you saw that in the national market, but again and again in California. Elizabeth Warren, not very smart. Josh Krasauer, good to talk to you. Hotline Josh at Twitter. I'll be right back. Tony Fauci joins me next, America, on the Hugh Hewitt Show. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172.